Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And one of our favorite times of the week, as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm well, gentlemen. Thank you. How are you?
Well, you're great. Thanks for taking time to be with us. So the Titans hiring Rand Carthon, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers. What do you make of the hire by the Titans for their next general manager?
Looks good. Wanted outside blood for sure, and fresh ideas from outside. 49ers, obviously, a really well-built team, and I think maybe the most significant quote we've seen from Carthon in stuff that's been written about him is how much he's learned from watching John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan work together, collaborate. That's what I wrote last night, is about what a collaborative guy Carthon is from three people I've talked to, including Jeff Fisher, who worked with him in St. Louis with the Rams. And maybe during the transition to Los Angeles. But Carthon talked about, you know, watching coach and GM and just kind of learning what the coach needs in a player at a position and being able to provide him with that. And we all know, you know, that was a little bit of the dysfunction's a strong word, but that's kind of what came apart in the roster construction for the Titans with John Robinson. So it sounds like exactly what Amy Adams Strunk was looking for from the moment that she issued that release about letting John Robinson go on December 6th.
PK, do you care at all or put much stock into just the fact that he's been on the pro personnel side most of his career? I mean, I know typically it's one or the other, but he hasn't done a ton of college evaluation.
Yeah, it's not the best thing on his resume, I would say, but that gives me, you know, I think then he's going to have a college scouting staff. He's inheriting one now. He'll revise it, I would think, drastically after this draft, and would be reliant on people scouting for him in a way that I never felt like Robinson necessarily was. That may be a little bit unfair. We're not behind the scenes there, but I feel like Robinson, in my opinion, had a lot of yes men around him. I think Rand Carthon will, you know, he's certainly going to make his own evaluations and not waver from them in terms of what he thinks about a guy, but he's certainly going to take input, I would expect, from a broad coalition of people around him. And that's a good question, Joe, that I know we're going to ask him when they introduce him. And you would have expected, I think, when they set out on this search, for it to be somebody with more of a college background than a pro.
PK, what do you make of the offensive coordinator search for the Titans from the standpoint of how you think the Titans should handle that search, and what's your reaction to them at least requesting permission to interview Eric Bieniemy and Mark Nagy from Kansas City?
I love that they requested those two guys, because those two guys, listen, I understand that their success has been closely tied to having a quarterback the caliber of Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, even that Mike Vrabel wants to talk to them acknowledges that there would be some kind of shift towards a more 2022 conventional NFL offense. Now, he doesn't necessarily have the personnel to run that offense, but there's a big change that's about to happen here that's going to be gradual over the next few years, because they can't revamp the roster all at once. And they're not going to have the quarterback to do it all at once. But either one of those guys would come in and I think be, if they accepted the job, I think they'd have somewhat more autonomy and be able to guide this offense in a direction that it's not gone as Vrabel has repeatedly talked about, you know, foundational principles that are important to him and that we've seen executed by LaFleur and Smith and Downing with varying degrees of success, obviously not much under Downing, that are Vrabel principles. I think somebody with the resume of Bieniemy or Nagy as an offensive coordinator would have some clout in order to maybe move Vrabel a little bit off of that.
Do you think, though, that the Carthon hire, because most of his career has been evaluating, selecting players for this same offense, makes it more likely that there it would be, you know, Tim Kelly internal or someone with that background?
Look, this is a big day in terms of outside thinking. So I'm convincing myself that they're going to go outside thinking on offensive coordinator and not disappoint us on the second biggest move with internal Tim Kelly. And now that we've seen these two names from Kansas City, Charles London would be, you know, less exciting in terms of that, though you don't know how he's developed and you know what his thinking is. He'd be more kind of like Art was in terms of his resume coming in. And I think there are more names to come out. Certainly, Vrabel works hard to keep these things quiet. I do think, by the way, as a kind of an amendment, that Keith Carter, I don't feel like, Joe, that his firing was as much about the work he did this last year when he had so little to work with, and he fought through having terrible linemen before and recovered. You know, everybody wanted his head way back at the beginning. And when he got good linemen, they had a good line and good protection and a 2,000-yard season from a back. But I think an offensive coordinator, if he could pick one coach on his staff, it's going to be his offensive line coach. And I think this new offensive coordinator will have a big say in who his offensive line coach is.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, you know, we talked about this a lot last year when the numbers would have made this way more difficult to achieve if you were the Titans. But now that you've sit here, you fired the offensive coordinator, you've now hired a new general manager if you're the Titans, what do you think the chances are that the Titans could move on from Ryan Tannehill this offseason?
Well, I'm about to post Mike Herndon's piece where he looks at some possibilities as alternatives. I just don't think they're great alternatives unless you're deciding to really go big, excuse me, down the rebuild front and either settle for a modest bridge that's really about the price, or go hard at 11 thinking you can get a top four guy that you really like, not knowing who that fourth guy is going to be that lands in your lap, or sell out in the next two drafts to go up and get the guy you really want. And I think with the depth problems they have and with the holes in the roster they already have and then they're going to have after they cut people after they cut people for salary cap stuff, I can't see sacrificing the better part of two drafts to go get the quarterback when you've got so little around him. So I'm a believer at this stage that you got to build up the team before you go get the next quarterback. And I think the odds are reasonably good that Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback moving forward and that they'll restructure his deal, push money forward, take the cap hit in the long term, the cap will go up, and then they'll be in position to make the kind of trade you need to make to go get the next young quarterback who maybe would be moving you into that stadium.
So when you see the symbol for fingers crossed, what does that mean to you, Paul? What does that finger? What does the fingers crossed emoji mean?
Look, to Paul, it doesn't mean to me. Look, Trey Lance can hope to go with Rand Carthon all he wants, but that doesn't mean anything about Rand Carthon's side of things. I'm amazed at how many people in the Titans fan base, after two injury-plagued years, want Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance, who are two injured guys. Let's go get an injured quarterback to solve our injured problems.
So that's what it means to you? It means I hope? Because that's what I thought, too. But, I mean, if Caroline Fenton and everybody is telling us that it means, it just means good luck. Good luck to you, sir. I have no idea.
I would think it means I hope.
That's what I thought, too.
His hopes mean anything.
It must be, I don't know, it must be us near boomers that just have a different. Okay, I hear you. What about Brock Purdy? How about Brock Purdy of the Titans?
Well, why would they give up Brock Purdy when he could be the next Tom Brady?
I just want you to get pissed off and flustered. I don't know.
I'm not going to get flustered. I will get pissed off.
You're a little flustered.
Just beautiful stuff.
Not flustered at all.
PK, it's great to have you back this week. We appreciate you.
When can we expect? I haven't looked yet at The Athletic, but based on how much you were tweeting last night, I don't imagine you were writing anything. Are you waiting for the introduction?
Yeah, I wrote something.
It's out this morning, PK. Go check it out.
Yeah, I wrote something. Go up there and read it there. Tough guy. Read your piece with Jeff Fisher. Nice job. Why don't you read my stuff? God. Now I'm flustered.
I'm pretty sure there was no way because you're very slow. And you were so busy on Twitter, I thought there's no way Joe's writing.
Hey, I had to tweet a little college hoops last night. Very good games. But I was writing a column at the same time. Thank you.
People still watch that before March?
Yeah. See, again, Stilly and Pauly rip on college hoops all day. Perfect.
I'm TPK on this
just
one, too.
Stilly and I may have the same thinking on something that links us in no way, shape, or form. Let's be clear on that.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. PK, great to have you back with us this week. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, that's really not long enough. I have a lot more to say. Let's stay on through the break.
Okay, we can do that if you want to.
Really?
I'd be happy to.
Cool. We'll be right back with Paul Kuharsky coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com hanging out with us for another segment here on Robbie and Rex Road. A little double time with PK today. I appreciate it. So, PK, one thing I did want to get your thoughts on that we talked about earlier this week. What did you make of the, I guess, report or whatever you want to call it from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network? That apparently the Titans could have interest in Tom Brady should he make it to free agency and decide to come back at age 46 this offseason.
I think it's connecting the dots. I mean, they didn't have a GM or an offensive coordinator hired, but they're officially interested in some level in Tom Brady. I think it's I don't know why I find myself trying to be a little easy on Ian here, but he doesn't deserve it. I mean, the connection is Vrabel, obviously, and the Titans' uncertainty at quarterback. But how could they be on a list of teams that have interest when they don't have a GM and an offensive coordinator at the point where he's saying that? I think it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that would basically have to be Vrabel, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, Vrabel can't, you know, say that without an offensive coordinator. So, sure, maybe we'd be interested.
I mean, unless it's Emperor Vrabel, and he's like, I don't care who's here and whatever job, I'm running this place now.
Yeah, I doubt very much it went like that. And I don't think Vrabel talks to Ian Rappaport much, if at all. So I think it's dot connecting and way premature.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I'm just playing the contrarian on that.
Yeah, no, I know. And look, Tom Brady will play for cheaper. And look, we're all excited that cutting Ryan Tannehill would save $18 million. But it also leaves behind $17 or $18 million.
Yep.
And so if you're signing a veteran quarterback like Tom Brady, you're stacking his salary on top of $17 million already. Now, they can manipulate the numbers and everything, but you can't pretend like he's not going to leave a hole in the cap at some place, you know, be equal to or beyond what the problem is with an extension for Ryan Tannehill.
That's true. So, but let's say you can make it work and Tom Brady actively wants to be here, which I have my doubts about. But let's say that's the case. What would you do? And by the way, just remind me. I know we talked about this, but I can't remember 2 days ago. Like when they signed Tannehill 3 years ago, were you in the camp of if it were a choice, you would pick Tannehill over Brady at that point?
I don't remember, to be honest. I mean, Tannehill was coming off a hell of a year, and I was not. Once they made the decision, I was not like, oh, they should have gone with Brady instead. He came off a phenomenal year. Things were humming, and I didn't have any issue with what they did. And you have to remember the last view we saw of Brady there firsthand. I don't know why Brady, you know, look, how much can you trust this offensive line gets rebuilt and the weapons become good for him? How much does he want to hand off to Derrick Henry? I mean, this is not an ideal place for him given the alternatives that he's going to have. I don't know. There's just a lot of quarterback uncertainty here. There's a lot of uncertainty here. And, I mean, Vrabel certainly is a big check mark in the pro column, but I think when he's sitting down making a pro-con list, it would be on the other side. And, you know, could the Titans pull it off? I mean, Vrabel could certainly make it work, but, you know, there have been some moments where Brady looked old, and, you know, if that wall comes this season, you're going to look awfully stupid.
Okay, but what would you do? You didn't answer the question, right? You got the choice. It's one of those two guys. That's your choice. Door
Brady
A, door
or
B.
Tannehill?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brady.
Yeah. I'm with it. I'm going Brady as well. PK, with Rand Carthon taking the job, we all know the laundry list of things the Titans need to do to improve their roster. How realistic is it in your mind that you can revamp the offensive line this offseason? You can add to the wide receiving core where it's not pathetic out there like it was at times this past year. What do you think are the chances, realistic chances, that you can effectively accomplish those things in one offseason given the state of this roster right now?
It seems really daunting, but teams do it. Teams turn things around in a hurry. I mean, the Giants – just turn things around in a hurry without a huge personnel change, just with the coaching change. I think a lot of it really relies on health. I think they can change enough about the front line and the offensive philosophy to make a difference. But they're not going to be able to revamp the roster enough to have depth. That's way more than a 1 year project. So the guys they get for the offensive line, the additions they make at wide receiver, you know, whatever they need to do at inside linebacker, at corner, you know, can they patchwork it together to be competitive because they've got a really good coach? If they're putting in a new offensive system and they figure out a solution at quarterback, that's a huge list right there. But can they do enough to be competitive for the seventh spot in the AFC? I think absolutely. But if they're dropping like flies like they've been the last 2 years, no. Because the depth behind these guys is just going to be insufficient. You can't replace that also in a year. And so they got to have a much healthier year. If they have a much healthier year, I think the answer is, you know, it's conceivable for sure.
So let's go rapid fire on the offensive line. I believe that they should try to re-sign Nate Davis. I know he's been hurt. I've seen he's a good player, and you can't get new faces everywhere. What do you think about that? What do you think about just Ben Jones, the chances that he returns, multiple concussions this year? Do you think Petit Frere can be a good player? And would you, after cutting Taylor Lewan, as we all know they will do, would you go back to him and say, hey, man, how about one more run back for a few mil? You can mentor the new guy we draft, and then we could really use you.
I think it just doesn't work that way with a guy like Lewan. Like, you're basically asking him to be the swing tackle. The swing tackle have a big podcast and is a big, boisterous, talkative guy. It just doesn't suit him. And that knee is very unreliable. Petit Frere, to me, is the only guy that's locked in. at right tackle. I think Nate Davis is a good player, but my sense is that they're down on him, and it's more than injuries. It might be attitude. And I think a team that might think it's a guard away, you know, heck, we're looking at the free agent, the pending free agent list, and not seeing much on there. So if you're a team that needs a guard, you see a guy that's started for 4 years on a pretty good team, and you might offer him well more than the Titans are willing to pay. I think they could be looking for four offensive linemen, or they slide Brewer to center, and they're looking for three, which is, you know, massive, obviously. And I think that's, you know, the number one thing for Rand Carthon is to change the trend of what's gone on with offensive linemen here. Maybe you find one high-priced free agent, one middle free agent, you draft two guys, and you throw them all in the blender.
A double dose of Paul Kaharsky this week from paulkaharsky.com. PK, I enjoyed this. Thanks for being with us.
A pleasure, gentlemen. Have a good week, and Joe, I'll see you at a press conference, hopefully.
I owe you a mead. There we go. Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, react to what PK had to say there as well. The choice is yours coming up next as well. Always encourage your participation with that on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, because you can bet the playoffs with FanDuel. Every play is a rush. This weekend, FanDuel giving all customers no sweat same game parlay during the divisional round. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account. You're going to get free bets back if your NFL playoff same game parlay does not hit. Of course, same game parlay lets you combine your favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Since we're talking a lot of Rand Carthon today, about Niners-Cowboys. You know, I like the Niners. I like Deebo Samuel anytime touchdown, and I like Dak Prescott under in the pass yards. I think that San Fran defense is going to get after him. You do whatever you want. You can also ride with thousands of fans and bet popular same game parlays that are already made for you on FanDuel. If you're new, sign up with promo code Joe102, see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook, and if you're already on, you can start building that no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner in the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum dollar bet required. Refund issued is now available for free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund, $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
We all have choices to make. This or that. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jarrett Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jarrett Companies. For more, visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
Come on.
The Choice Is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. We have two sports questions, two non-sports questions. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, Michelle, where would you like to begin, sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. All right. Your favorite vehicle that you've ever owned is what? Your favorite vehicle that you've ever owned is what?
It's a good one. You got.
You go first.
I go first?
I can go if you need me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I had a mine was actually when I turned 16. I had a 2001 Dodge Ram, mm-hmm. But it was a 2001 Dodge Ram that had a gray body and a red hood. Because it had been beaten up a little bit by previous owners, a.k.a. my father. So, gray body, red hood. Anybody riding around Hendersonville, Tennessee in approximately 2008, 2009, 2010, when Robbie Stanley was going somewhere, you knew that Robbie Stanley was going somewhere. There's no sneaking around when you have the gray body and the red hood. But I love that truck. It was awesome. I miss that truck, and it kind of makes me want to go buy another truck. But the 2001 Dodge Ram with the gray body and the red hood, my favorite vehicle I've ever owned.
You're out there raising hell.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one. Mine was graduation gift, and I was driving to a restaurant with my mom, and I saw this like Jeep with a red bow on it, and I was like, come on, I want a Jeep so bad, blah, 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 blah. Then we like went out to the restaurant that's right across from the car dealership, and I'm like, really, you guys are going to make me like look at this Jeep? They knew it was my dream car. And then they were like, here, it's your graduation gift, and they gave me like a gift bag, and I opened it, and it was the keys. And I still have that Jeep, and it's right out front.
There we go.
My white Jeep. So I love it. I love taking the top and the doors off in the summer, but
it is tough.
It is tough, but yeah. Love my Jeep Wrangler. Only car I've had, so.
Real quick aside on that, Katie Rexroad has been wanted a Jeep Wrangler forever, and I'm afraid of them. I think they're unsafe. I mean, good luck to you. I think you're fine. Anyway,
my mom thought the same thing. The two doors.
Good luck to you.
Tumble, but the four doors aren't as top heavy. There's okay. my knowledge
well,
on that.
Well, hopefully she's not listening.
Yeah, Katie.
But if she is, she would get really mad when I give you my answer. We had this Pontiac G6, and for anybody who knows what the Pontiac G6 is, yeah, it's fine. I just love the car. It was the closest thing I've had to a sporty car ever. You know, for the most part, we just have cars where you can load car seats into them. And I just had a blast driving the Pontiac G6. She hated that car.
Yeah.
Hated it. So if she is listening, right now she's like, well, she's saying read between the lines on the thing, but that does mean have a nice day, Katie.
Yeah. Mike on the text line says, 1991 Toyota Camry, nicknamed the Batmobile.
Ooh.
Any car with a nickname is a good one.
Yeah.
And my truck was Old Bess. That was her nickname.
I'd like to pick my buddy Overbeek's El Camino from college. That is a great vehicle.
Very nicely done. All right, moving on to sports. You can start an NFL franchise with one current head coach. Who are you choosing? Who is your current NFL head coach that you're starting a franchise with?
Yeah, I'll go Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, Joe.
Sorry. It's just, I mean, I think, and I do still blame him. Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he wasn't the head coach.
Super Bowl. He wasn't the head coach. He was the OC.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's learned from that. I just think he's I think he is the most creative offensive mind in the game, and also seems to have a really good demeanor and just a good balance in how he goes about his business, watching from afar. And I think you can't argue with success. And I think he may be about to finally get that ring, which he would have had Jimmy Garoppolo connected on one simple pass in the first shot he had at a Super Bowl as a head coach.
That is true.
Well, Joe took my answer. Kyle Shanahan, I think he is the best coach in the NFL from top to bottom.
Okay.
And I think that, like you said, he should have won a ring. Hopefully he gets it this year. I'm rooting for him and Purdy. But I just think he's such a creative guy. And he's also just a guy, too, who I don't want to say flies under the radar. That's not the right word. But you can just tell he's like comfortable, and he doesn't try to like put on a show in front of the media or anything. And he just seems like a good guy. I don't know him or anything, but I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan.
I thought one of you would for sure go with Belichick. But you didn't do it.
No, he stinks.
Okay.
What's his record without Brady?
It is not good.
It's not good. I know that.
I mean, he's good.
Honestly, I think Shanahan might be my answer, too. It makes me wonder if we're getting way too caught up in prisoner in the moment type things. I would consider McVay. Look, I know some Titans fans are going to think I'm crazy here. I'd consider Vrabel. I still think Vrabel's a great coach. I know they lost 7 games in a row, but I think Vrabel's a really good coach. He would be in consideration for me.
Yeah, I think Vrabel, Tomlin, Reed, you know, Belichick. I'll tell you, if you want to go real early indications, so – but tell you what, I think Brian Daboll is a heck of a hire for the Giants. I've been nothing but impressed with what he's done. Like PK said, it's not like they have some massive personnel. What they did have was the health of Saquon Barkley, which they haven't had.
Yeah.
But they still have personnel gaps, and some guys just got a lot better, like, for example, the quarterback.
No vote for Nick Sirianni. Good job.
He has a good one, too.
I can't get over his introductory press conference, but other than that, he's done a great job.
I hear you. Someone says on the text line, Cliff Kingsbury after Thailand takes his soul.
He is living out the plot line from Hangover 2 there, I think, out there in Thailand.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cliff Kingsbury. all right, going back to non-sports. For some reason, I guess I'm was in a car mood when I came up with these questions. What's the longest drive you've ever made, and what's the longest drive you'd be willing to make? The longest drive you've ever made, and the longest drive you'd be willing to make.
So, and this is a continuous drive, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, like it's not like you stop and then you continue that. Yeah, it's easily, it was a college, two vehicles, a lot of people going to South Padre Island, which in the 90s, as you may remember, that was the big hot spot for the kids.
It's kind of back and going.
I mean, I still, like, but I feel like then it was like, oh, that was the coolest place. But anyway,
South Padre Island.
We drove 30 whatever hours straight. I mean, I slept like on the floor of a van. Like I just put my head on the floor and slept before my driving shift, you know.
It's an absurd amount of hours.
An absolutely absurd trip that probably should have resulted in deaths, but didn't. There you go.
30 hours?
30. I might have been 30, like 2:30. It was.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was fun time, though.
That's tough. Did you drive it all?
Well, no, I mean, it was like two vehicles and like, I think it was eight of us in two vehicles. So driving shifts, but you know, it's like, oh yeah, it's your shift to sleep. Great. Thanks for blasting Pantera while I'm trying to sleep. Sounds good. How's that cigarette? Okay. Awesome.
The longest drive I've ever made, I did the drive from Lexington, Kentucky to New York by myself. There might be a longer one that I was like in the car for. I can't think right now, but I know by myself, I did it all the way through, woke up at 6 a.m. and got to New York around like 7:30, 8 p.m. It's like 16-ish hours. And let me tell you, by the end of that, I was like hallucinating and like, I need to lay down. That was tough. I think if I'm like with other people, I could do probably a 24 hours, but if I'm single, like just me driving, the entire time, 16, that was pushing it for me. That was pushing it.
You are way tougher than me.
That's a jaunt.
Like, I think the longest drive I've ever done, I believe, is 11 hours from here to Orlando, and it's because you ran into a little bit of traffic. But, I mean, I used to do the drive from here to Panama City Beach all the time. It was 8 hours. And now that they've got a Southwest flight down there, like, I'm not doing that ever again. It's an hour flight. So the longest flight drive that I'd be willing to do now is probably like 6 hours. Anything more than that, I'm hopping on a plane. The only exception that I will make to that is, you know, sometimes people, like, they want to take, like, the West Coast trip and just drive the whole way out there and see it. I would probably make an exception for that. Other than that.
But you'll be stopping.
Yeah, I'll hop myself on a plane, man.
Yeah.
I'm not driving anymore.
I hear you. Yeah. I'm getting weaker in the ability to drive long distances.
Sometimes it's easier, though, just to hop in the car.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. All right, last question, sports. You have two choices. Bryce Young in a total rebuild for the Titans. You move heaven and earth to go get him. Or Tom Brady for 1 year. Running it back, trying to win a Super Bowl. What are you doing?
Tom Brady.
I'm going Bryce Young.
That was two very different answers immediately from both of you.
Yeah. We both were instant with that.
You go first.
Like, I have my doubts about Tom Brady. I'm sorry. Like, at some point, I'm going to be right, and it might not be till 2031. You know? But at some point, like, it's gonna start catching up with him. And I just think there are so many questions, too, that I don't know what that year would realistically be. I don't know what they'll realistically be next year when I think they'll probably come back with Tannehill and Henry. I love Bryce Young. I hear all the criticisms about his height, and also he's skinny, too. Can he take the pounding in this league? I just think he's special. I'm willing to gamble on that guy.
Okay, well, we obviously heard. I'm going with Tom Brady. I think that this group, you know, you look at the defense right now, I do think healthy. It is a championship defense. Add him, you put all your cards on the table, you go for it for one more time. I think that Derrick Henry, you get one more year out of him, you get Brady in it. I think he still does have it. I'm taking Brady one more year before you hit the rebuild button.
I'm going Brady. Give me Tom Brady. I don't care if he's 46. I'm going Brady
either.
One time. And see how it goes. And if it doesn't work out, you can figure out the quarterback after that. I do really like Bryce Young. Like, I hear the people talking about his size, and I understand it. Like, I think he's pretty good. And I think size was never a problem in the SEC for him. I think he's really accurate with the ball. I think he's going to be a good NFL player as long as he is put in a somewhat decent situation with wherever he goes, but I'm going Brady one time.
Okay. Well, apparently I'm more against old people than you two are.
Listen, he doesn't look 46 or act 46. Well, so
that's true.
So he doesn't look 46.
At HGH shakes.
Benjamin Button.
19 hours of sleep a day.
That'd be so nice.
615-737-1025. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:30. Coming up next, we'll get back into the hiring of Rand Carthon as Titans general manager. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can bet the NFL playoffs with FanDuel, where every play is a rush. This weekend, FanDuel is giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay during the divisional round. And it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your NFL same-game parlay doesn't hit. Same-game parlays let you combine all your favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday. I'm going with the 49ers against the Cowboys. I'll take 49ers on the money line. I will go Brock Purdy over on touchdown passes. I think he continues to play well. But you take it any way you want to take it. You can even ride with thousands of other fans and bet popular same-game parlays already made for you. If you're new to FanDuel, join now with promo code ROB to see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already have FanDuel, you can start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund of $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. By the way, apparently Sean Payton meeting with the Carolina Panthers today. So he met with the Broncos yesterday, meeting with the Panthers today. Met with the Texans as well. So, interested to see where he ends up. Doesn't look like it's going to be with the Chargers. Yeah. Chargers fired their OC yesterday. Looks like Brandon Staley is going to hang on.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Brandon Staley. All the people talking about the ownership of the Chargers, apparently we're correct.
Apparently so.
They're not paying some big buyout. They're not paying him to go away.
No Chargers, and I would assume no Cowboys for Sean Payton. So going to be a little bit of a different approach here if he ends up back in the league as a head coach next year with a team that may be a little bit towards the bottom in the standings. The Texans thing is interesting to me because if he ends up, I mean, you could have your choice at a generational quarterback. Like that could be an intriguing option for Sean Payton.
Payton Levis, woo, watch out, boy. NFL.
Get ready to go. We'll see what happens on that front. Taking your thoughts on the hiring of Rand Carthon as Titans general manager, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll see when exactly Rand Carthon appears in front of the media here in Nashville and when he's officially introduced as Titans general manager. Joe, as we wrap up the show here today, just your final thoughts on the hiring of Rand Carthon, what it means for the Titans as they continue to move forward here, maybe what this means for the direction they decide to take as a franchise. What do you make of the thoughts of the hiring of Rand Carthon and what you've heard about what this could mean for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, look, there's different, we had Kaharski on earlier. He had some interesting points. You know, he talked to Jeff Fisher at paulkaharski.com.
Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. Jeff Fisher will be on Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace at 11:30 today.
Yes, and Gentry Essis for the Tennessean quoted Engel Martin, who of course played with him at Florida. I mean, there's a lot of, I guess you would say the personality testimonials are a lot about collaboration, which, of course, is important. I talked to a few people last night, more on the nuts and bolts of his tenure, in particular people out in California. And, again, big point made to me, which I think is a great point, is although we don't have the scorecard where you know exactly who gets credit for what or discredit for what, when you look at late rounds and undrafted free agents, if a team is especially strong in that, that usually speaks well of the, you know, the scouts, but also the number two and number three, director player personnel, whatever the titles are, after the GM. So 49ers list I put together in this column I wrote in The Athletic: George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, DJ Reed, Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, Jeff Wilson, Kendrick Bourne. Those are all fifth round or later. And, of course, as everybody knows, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick of the last draft, might win the Super Bowl with him. George Kittle, one of the top – I mean, he's been hurt, but one of the top two tight ends in the NFL, right? I mean, it's him and Kelsey, I think. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, top – he's a great player. And then, you know, some of those other guys, you're talking about starters on – what's that?
Jeff Swaim, not making the cut.
Well, he's –
That was unnecessary.
He's on the fringe
of
the top 10.
That was uncalled for.
I know. You're such a swater. You are a total swater, man. It's crazy. But a lot of starters on defense in that, too. I mean, Wilson and Bourne are undrafted guys. So that's an endorsement for him. Another endorsement for him, and it goes back, but Les Snead taking him from Atlanta with him to St. Louis at the time to be with the Rams, to be director of pro personnel, big jump. Kind of identifying a kind of rising star back then. And, again, he's been a part of three franchises. And in all three cases, he has been a part of team building that has resulted in at least one Super Bowl appearance with each one of them. And, again, the Niners here, I think Niners-Cowboys are going to be awesome. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they got a chance here with Brock Purdy at quarterback. So, finding someone who is a part of, I think, arguably the best team building, consistent work in the past half decade plus is a good idea, I think.
I think so, too. I think what I've seen from Titans fans, and honestly, I think what probably excites me the most about it, because, again, I talked about this earlier, I think – On the limited amount of information that we know about these guys and what they do and what their roles have been when they're hired as general manager, especially guys that have never been general managers before, like, I think there's only a certain amount that we know, and there's a lot yet to be found out about the job that he'll do as general manager of the Titans. I will say the thing that I think excites Titans fans the most from what we've seen on the text line today, on social media last night, and what I thought about immediately when they made the hire was, you went outside the organization and you hired somebody, which, as you said, has been at a place where they've done a whole lot of winning and they've built a really good roster. And that's exciting to me. Like, if you're a Titans fan, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to translate to immediate success here with the Titans. You said this when they fired John Robinson, and I think it very well could be true. I mean, there's a good chance that whoever the next general manager was going to be, Rand Carthon or elsewhere, that maybe their record won't end up being as good as John Robinson was as tenure with the Tennessee Titans as general manager. But I like the idea of going outside the organization, bringing in some new ideas, bringing in some new thoughts, and bringing in a guy with a background, which, as you said, I think speaks for itself, a lot of success in the places where he's been in terms of building the roster. So with the limited information that we have, I think it's a pretty good hire by the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and I'll go back. Look, I thought the firing of John Robinson in season was ridiculous. I wouldn't have fired him. And I think Ryan Cowden had a case, you know, to be the hire, and people would have been way less excited, but he had a case. I mean, Monty Osifort just got hired away. The guy behind Cowden is now the GM of the Cardinals. Saying interesting things, by the way. But they did move on, and so I think there's no question that the fan base is more excited about getting a fresh perspective. They have had a too much of a run of bad decisions in important spots recently. So I also still think it's going to be tough to match what John Robinson did over that period of time. I mean, it's going to be tough to ever have a draft as good as the 2019 draft was for the Titans. But if you're going to go somewhere else, I can't think of a better place to go than the 49ers. And Carthon, And look, when the new GM gets hired or new coach, it's not like, I mean, what you talk to people that person knows, and it's all good things,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
So we know that's going to be the case, but everything we know is pretty impressive.
Big day for emojis on the program today. Kenston on YouTube says, just read Joe's piece, a couple of fire emojis attached with it. Trey Lance with the fingers crossed emojis. Big day for emojis here on the program. A lot of breakdown on that on the text line, too.
We found out that Karski and I are both indeed
boomers.
Yeah, near boomers. We're with our emoji analysis. So it's always great to be lumped with that.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.